Today is November 14th, and we are continuing the mitzvah of Pidyon Peder Chamor. We had a couple of interesting ideas of why the donkey of all non-kosher animals was chosen to fulfill this mitzvah of redeeming the donkey. As always, we mentioned that the source sheets that we have are not crucial to following the shiur. You can certainly follow the shiur just from the audio or video, but if you do want the sheets, we're working on having them posted online, so those that are following by way of Skype or Adobe can do so through the sheets as well. Hopefully another couple days we'll have that up and running. We're going on to a new reason. The reasons that we had till now basically were that the donkey was the one that helped the Jewish people get out of Mitzrayim. It was also that the Mitzrayim were compared to a donkey in the Navi and Yirmiya, and those are the two basic ideas. The Meshech Chachma comes up with a very unusual and novel idea, and something I've never heard before until I saw this Meshech Chachma. But the lesson that is taught from this is really fascinating. So the Meshech Chachma says like this: Kol peder chamor tifteh b'sev and lo yisifteh v'arafteh. Okay, chol b'char adam v'necha tifteh. We're at the bottom of page 37, and we're in the last paragraph. So he quotes firstly a Yerushalmi in Shkolim, Reb Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, the Meshech Chachma, who lived before the war. He quotes famously the Yerushalmi in Shkolim. The Yerushalmi in Shkolim says something very intriguing. Ata mechartem b'chayresh al Rachel b'esrim kasef. You sold the firstborn of Rachel, i.e. Yosef, for 20 kasef, for 20 silver talents. Afatem tenu ba'ad b'charchem chamish shkolim. You should also give for your firstborn 5 shkolim.
This is right to be an advantage, right?
Right. Right. Esrim Geir, but who Pella? He says, this is a Pella. We'll see in a moment, he'll get to the Chamar, he'll get to the donkey, but it's referring to Pidyon Aben. And he says like this: it's a Pella. It's a wonder. Because if the reason for Pidyon Aben, of redeeming the firstborn, is for this reason, that the Jewish people collectively, the tribes of Israel, sold Yosef, so im nemchu avor zef, this is the punishment. So madua shevet Yosef tzarech liten shal chamesh kolam, chamesh slaim. Why do the people, descendants of the tribe of Yosef, they were the victims, right? If you're from Yosef, you were one of the victims. Why would you be punished for something that you didn't do? Ulami l'shifto shel Levi, who are you giving it to? To shevet Levi. Who was the meicher? He was the one that was selling. So the roles are reversed. If in fact this is a punishment, so then those that are obligated to be punished, those that sold and should be punished, they're the ones that should have to pay. And those that weren't sold, maybe you should have, they should be the recipients. And instead, it's the reverse. Levi, who was involved in the sale, he receives it, and Yosef, who was not involved, he was the victim, he has to pay as well. He's included in those that have to pay. So how do you explain this? So the Meshech Chachma explains something that is a concept that is understood, unfortunately not understood very well in our world, and that is the following. That David HaMelech says in Tehillim, he doesn't quote this pasuk, but David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Eidcha ki ani sani, vatehi li lishma. I praise you, ki ani sani. So ki could mean many different things. It could be when you afflicted me, vatehi li lishua, then you were for me for a Yeshua. Yeah? you were for a salvation.
Yeah. By the way, I think that they're darshaning aki ani sani. Actually, nikud is ani sani. You answered me, but I think the darshaning ini sani. You're afflicted.
Right.
Even when you afflicted.
But the way we'll see the Beis Halevi and others learn this to be that it's affliction, which means. And ki, of course, we know that ki means many different things, but ki could mean when, or ki can mean because of, right? So, Eitcha ki anisani could be understood to mean that David HaMelech is praising Hashem for the fact, not just that he had a Yeshua, that he had a salvation, but that he was afflicted in the first place. What's this under? What does this mean? So let me share with you first what the Beis Halevi says. I didn't write this down in the notes. But the Beis Halevi says a beautiful thing based on a medrash that says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu, together with Klal Yisrael, sang a song to Hashem. Oz Yashir Moshe. What did they sing? They sang the song of Oz Yashir, yeah? Mm. What's the first word of Oz Yashir?
Oz.
So the matter says like this: why did he start with the word "uz"? Aside from the fact that it has an allusion to Elam Abba and all sorts of other things, so the matter says like this: the matter says, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the peak of his test, he was sent to Parai. What was the worst? What was the worst? What was the peak of his disappointment?
When Paro made, he went to him and he
went to him and made it worse. He asked him several times. Then he went to him and Paro made it worse. What was Moshe's reaction? And this was, by the way, perhaps this was something that Hashem wanted. He wanted a leader that would feel the pain of Klal Yisrael and, as a reflex, would respond by expressing anguish. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, "May us basi al Paro." The same word, us. May us basi al Paro. From the time that I went to Paro, hey, Ralam, I say you made it worse. There's different ways of understanding that. Some understand that it was a good thing. This matter seems to think that it was a low point because Moshe Rabbeinu was, so to speak, on his level, questioning Hashem. How could this be? How could you do this? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "May us basi al Paro." So the matter says, being that he used the word "uz" to question Hashem, so now when he's saying with the word "uz." So the Beis Halevi asks, "Okay, it's nice to say that, but how does that repair the damage that was done? If he expressed wonderment and a somewhat of a lack of faith in the Rebbeinu Shlomo by using the word "uz," how does it repair it when he sings with "uz"? So he says this idea, that when a person goes through a difficulty, he has to thank Hashem not just for the Yeshua, for the salvation, he has to thank Hashem for the difficulty itself. Because as we mentioned, the fact that Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, it was a Kura Barzel, it refined us. We'll see the Meshech Chachma expresses it beautifully. It refined us. So when Moshe Rabbeinu sang, he said, "You know what, Hashem? Initially, I thought that this was a reason to complain. I had a grievance. But now I realize not just that you saved me, but that which you caused it to become worse was precisely the reason why we had the Yeshua. As we know, especially in Mitzrayim, we know, yes, why was it that Hashem made it worse? Mikoshi Ashibud, the Rebbeinu Shlomo made it worse so that we should finish the 400 years that we were destined to be in an Eretz Le'elohem and in a foreign land so that we would get out before we were decimated entirely. So was it worse that Paro made it more difficult for us, or was it better that Paro made it more difficult for us? What do you say, Drew?
It was much better.
Is it difficult? It's very difficult. But we were on the 49th level. We would have slipped into the abyss.
It also increased the osos mosim and
so there's many different reasons why. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what he was saying, says the Beis Halevi. By using the word "uz," he was saying, "I'm praising you, Hashem, not just for the fact that you gave us the Yeshua, but ki'ini sani, that you afflicted us. I'm thanking you, Eitcha Kiani Sani Vatihili Lishua, is David HaMelech saying, I'm thanking you. When I look back, I look back not just for the Yeshua, and thank you for the Yeshua, I thank you for the Inui as well. Because that's precisely what contributed to me growing from this, from this situation.
David HaMelech were on that level. Are we as normal Yid expected? Well, after it's over, we expected, like, now I see why you smashed me out somewhere.
Well,
what going on?
Okay, so let me give you, in our lifetime, the ultimate question. Why did God cause the Holocaust? Yeah? Now, I'm not saying I'm here to explain it and that I understand it, etc. But one thing I could tell you is that as the generation one step removed from the Holocaust, at least I am, or maybe two, you could see certain things that the previous generations were not able to see. You could see certain benefits to Klal Yisrael when you take a global picture that you didn't appreciate 50 years ago. A certain rebirth and a certain rejuvenation that exists in Klal Yisrael, and I'm not saying that we're not the ones to decide to make it. Obviously, the Rebbe Shalom, in his infinite wisdom, has far better reasons than just what I'm mentioning now. But one thing we could appreciate is taking one step back, we could look in hindsight and appreciate that there's certain things there that happened that may have actually saved Klal Yisrael. I wouldn't say this to somebody who went through the pain, and I wouldn't say this that this is the only reason, and I wouldn't say that it's all the, whatever the case may be. But certainly one thing we can know for sure is that to some degree, this is true. We could appreciate that just by examining the history of Klal Yisrael and what has transpired to the Jewish people since the time of the Holocaust. I mean, before the Holocaust, the maskilim and the negative influences, the influences of the Enlightenment were just, it was unbelievable. There wasn't a single family that didn't have, you know, children that were almost not a single family that was unscathed. And it's just, it was heading downhill very, very quickly. It was a frightening situation for the Jewish people. To say that the Holocaust then ultimately stopped that, and why did it have to be something as drastic and as cruel and as depressing and crushing as a Holocaust? That's not for us, and I'm not saying that was the only reason, but we could certainly appreciate that to some degree there was that benefit through the affliction that the Jewish people went through. Any Jew, regardless of where you were, just knowing that this was going on, and just going through the fright of the war, etc., the whole world was in upheaval. This kind of thing eventually led to some very positive things.
Just very interesting is that I think Rabbi Rieti, I've heard it different people, Rabbi Talbert, that when things are really, really bad for us, that's when, like, Rashi lived around the Crusades, Ramban was persecuted, Ramban went through to end him. When things are really, really, really bad, Akiva, whatever, that's when our greatest people come. We're like an olive. We get squeezed.
Right,
squeeze,
right, right. And we say that in the Haggadah. Some say that's the Pshat of Vehisham de la Veseinu. Mm-hmm. Right? What do we say in the Haggadah? Vehisham de la Veseinu Velonu. What stood up for us? Shaleachad Bovar Amar Aleinu Chalasein. In every generation, they stand up to go up against us. Bechol Darvada, right? And the Rebbeinu Shalom stands to save us. So the simple explanation of Vehisham, this is the Rebbeinu Shalom that saved us. And some say, no, the pshat of the Baal HaGadol intends to say is that precisely because in every generation there's someone there to antagonize us, that's what keeps us in check. And that's something that we have to appreciate, that when we look back in hindsight and we express our appreciation for the Yeshua, for their salvation, we have to know that we really have to appreciate the fact that we were put into that position in the first place. So look how the Meshech Chachma inserts this idea into the mitzvah of Peter Chamar and really redeeming your firstborn. He says like this: "B'kasher tavei tzara la'adam." When a, and by the where the few dots are there, the fourth line, when a person experiences a tzara la'aleinu, a difficulty, a challenge, v'yinatzal mimenu, and he's saved, v'yeshuas Hashem yisbarach. With the salvation of the Rebbeinu Shlom, ein ze shinui chalila. This is not chalila a change of heart, b'ritzayna yisbarach, in the will of the Rebbeinu Shlom. Rak haya galui l'Hashem yisbarach, it was revealed to the Rebbeinu Shlom Adam that this specific person, tzarech lavai lad, tzarech li natzel mimena. It was revealed to the Rebbeinu Shlom, in his infinite wisdom, he understood that this person would benefit from being in a tzara and then being saved. You know, the famous chazal that Rashi brings, right, that the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted to hear the voice of Bal Yisrael. Yeah? The Rebbeinu Shlom wants to hear, so he, like the prince who wanted to hear the princess call out for him, so he sent the bandit, right? It was better for her to have the bandit and then be saved than not to have anything at all. Because now at least she recognizes who's the one, who's the king and who's the prince. So the same here. When a person goes through a difficulty and a challenge, you have to know it's the same Rebbeinu Shlom that not just sends the Yeshua, it's the same Rebbeinu Shlom that sends the Tzar in the first place. But that in itself is precisely what is the benefit for the person.
Wow.
You know, I mentioned his name many times, Ramatul Pogromansky. There was a great tzaddik that lived through the Second World War, but he was in France after the war for a few years. Tremendous goyin in Europe, Ramatul Pogromansky was a rebbe of Rabbi Mordechai Gifter. So at times people used to say to him, in Yiddish you say, Gott wird helfen. Der Bensch wird helfen. Right? Hashem will help. And he used to say, nein, der Bensch wird nicht helfen. Der Bensch is not going to help. He says, Der Bensch does alles. Der Bensch does everything. Der Bensch doesn't help. Der Bensch does everything. He sends the Tzara and he sends the Yeshua. Not, oh, I need Hashem's help. He'll help me. He's the one that sent the Tzara in the first place. And you have to question yourself, why was it that you needed that Tzara?
You know, this answers the difficulty of how if a person prays for refuah and it's granted, or for Yeshua, it's granted, so is there some changing his mind? So this negates...
It's exactly how he expresses it. That's what I underlined there. Ain ze shinui chalila b'ritzayne yizbarach. It's not a change in the Rebbeinu Shlom. Rebbeinu Shlom wants him to have the machla, and he wants him to be saved. They're both right. Ubefrat Yitzias Mitzrayim, and specifically Yitzias Mitzrayim. I'm right after the underlined line there. Asher Achnasas on the Mitzrayim, haya b'gzeira muchlates. It was a gzeira. We know it was already it was foretold by the Rebbeinu Shlom to Avraham Avinu that the Bnei Yisrael would be going into Eretz Leilohem. Valzeh nichras Brisbane Absarim and Avraham Avinu. That's specifically what the Brisbane Absarim was. Avraham Avinu knew in advance. And that's why they made this covenant. Hashem told them in advance, I have to purify them. I have to send them into this furnace. Litzaref, son. We had a long discussion about this word litzaref way back when.
Yeah, right?
Litzaref is to purify them through fire, right? Ashiya nichnayin betivan. They would then be how do you translate the word nichna? Tnia is
humbled.
A bit humbled, but there's a word on the tip of my tongue. But humbled is a good word. Umuchshar and ligas nafshaisam. They would then be prepared. Vilmadu achachmais haramis shesnaisesu azbe mitzrayim shahaisa hamamlocha haadira betevel. They would go through all these situations and they would.
Maybe it's the Ageya is not Shasam.
Where is that? Where were we?
Mukhsharim. Ligam is to touch. I mean, Liageya is to weary, or I mean, to exert.
Liageya, you're correct. The Yilmadu Achachmai Sarame is to learn the exalted Chachmai Sasher. It's nice to us, but Mitzrayim. Shahaisa Hamamlocha Adira Bateva was the big metropolis. It was the big was the superpower in those days, and many other timeim kemusim vegluyim lechachmas habayir. There are many reasons why the Rebbeinu Shlom felt it was better for us to go down to Mitzrayim and how it purified us. Lachin kasher pasach Hashem al bechar b'vnei Yisrael, when the Rebbeinu Shlom jumped over the houses of the Jewish people and saved and didn't kill out the bechayrim, b'harik al bechar ba'adam b'behema. Hashem in Mitzrayim, and he killed out all the firstborns of the Mitzrayim. Shemizeh ro'u ha'ashgach ha'pratis. That was the ultimate lesson in Ashgach ha'pratis, as Rebbeinu Shlom, with precision. You know, they have in the military today, they have these guides seeking missiles, you know, very targeted, they have guided missiles, where they can actually, you know, witnesses have said, like, they see them turn corners, you know, these missiles. It's pretty remarkable what they could do with such precision, right? I mean, U.S. military threw, I think, 20 of them on a restaurant at the beginning of the Gulf War. They thought Saddam Hussein was there, and then they missed him. You remember that?
Well, yeah.
So they precisely got the wrong target. Okay, but it only cost you about $400 million.
Oh, thank you.
But, okay. But it was a good restaurant. Five stars. It was five stars. Okay, so all that, it taught us, especially the way the Rebbeinu Shleilam saved us through this last Makkah, through this last plague, was an enormous lesson to us in Hashgacha Pratis, in the way the Rebbeinu Shleilam is orchestrating everything and controlling everything, and that every negative situation is brought about there just so that you should have an opportunity to learn from it. So he's watching out for all the Nevroim, Hashemrim Drachav V'chukav, those that watch, that guard the ways of the Rebbeinu Shlom and fulfill his commandments, to fulfill what he demands of them, the Rebbeinu Shlom is protecting them with tremendous precision. Exactly that. So Tziv Olezikarein Asheyagdishu Kol B'char Ba'adam V'Behema, he commanded for a remembrance, for this tremendous lesson, because we had this lesson, this under this revelation, that the Rebbeinu Shlom is out to protect in a very, very specific way those that follow his ways. So in order to remember that, the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us also the mitzvah being Magdish, Bechor, Ba'adam, Uba Behema, Uba Zeh. Now here's the key, ready? Here's the punchline. So why is there a mitzvah of redeeming the Bechor in the first place? Is to remember that lesson of Makkas Bechayres, of the 10th plague, because during that Makkah, the Rebbeinu Shlom showed us his Hashgacha Pratis, his specific divine providence. But here it is. Ubazen nichlal gam biyasan lemitzrayim. If you're thanking Hashem for the salvation, as we mentioned before, you have to thank Hashem for what? For bringing you down to Mitzrayim in the first place as well. And how did that happen? It happened through Yosef, the whole Hishtalshlus HaDvarim. That's what Yosef answered the brothers. What did Yosef say to the brothers?
You made it for harm, but Hashem made it for good.
Al-Kim Chashav L'Tayva, right?
Well, so
that he should be there for, what was the Lashon he used? L'michya Shlachani, right? What we're saying by this mitzvah, what Hashem is telling us by this mitzvah of Peter Chamar, he says, don't just remember when I saved you, the redemption of the firstborn, the redemption of the Seh. Don't just remember the Makkas Bechayres where you saw my great protection. Remember when we went down as well. How does the Chamar symbolize that? V'yichad es ha-chamar lizkar es ha-chnasasan le-Mitzrayim al yedei ha-chamar. Because how did they go down to Mitzrayim? They brought their things on Chamarim. So what does this teach us? You know what the purpose of the Chamar, you know what the mitzvah of the Chamar is? The mitzvah of the donkey is because that's a symbol of the going down to Mitzrayim. So says the Meshech Chachma, the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't just want us to remember the salvation. He wants us to remember that the putting us in the difficulty in the first place and everything in between was also from Hashem. Et tut alles.
Amazing.
From the entrance until the exit, Hayashal Shelas Arucha Sibais Shainais. Everything was Asher Kulam Ke'echad Hislach Lelamed Mif'alis Tamim Deim, to teach us the workings of the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Asher Hakol Hashgacha Miyochedes. Everything is with a special providence. Okay, so basically, the question that we asked was, if this is a punishment, what is the Medrash talking about? Because you sold Yosef, so then you should also give money to redeem. So the question was, if it's a punishment, the victim shouldn't be punished, nor should the villain be the one to receive the money. He shouldn't be rewarded. What's the answer? The answer is not a punishment. It's a mnemonic. It's there as a reminder. It's there to remind us that everything was b'hashgachas Hashem. U'me'oz me'avaysam hinchil oysam Hashem yizbarach l'skulasai u'kdushasam v'kirvasam l'Hashem yizbarach hu min tzurach u'tzavnu ha'avays. So this all came from this Kedusha. It was all hewn by the Rebbeinu Shalom, by orchestrating these things. And therefore he gave these mitzvahs in order to remember that. And then he adds here, Ukimai HaBechar. It's a little added flavor here. Just like a Bechar, Asher, who Kadosh Me'elav B'tivai. A Bechar, what's the halacha with a Bechar? It's born, it's already inherently Kadosh. So the same way the firstborn inherently has this kedusha, kein leipaska ha-hashgacha mizera ha-avais mitchilas knisasan le-mitzrayim she'al rishain ad yitziyasan bal ze yoyre kiddush b'char adam u'pedach amar. The Rebbeinu Shem specifically said, I want there to be a specific kedusha that is inherent in the firstborns, that they should remember that really that kedusha is there already from the beginning, just like the avais. The avais had this kedusha within them, and that remains in the children of any kedusha that the Jewish people have subsequently. Always comes; it's an inherent, intrinsic part of every Jew from the beginning of time when he dealt with the Avos until this very day. We have that Kedusha inherent. The Jewish people are actually called, we mentioned this in the past, B'nei B'chayri Yisrael. Hashem refers to Klal Yisrael. What's the message of B'nei B'chayri? So Rashi says it's a Gedula, it's greatness. Here he's adding to this, the Meshech Chochma, that the fact that the Jewish people are, the message of calling us B'char is the same way a B'char. It's automatic. He doesn't do anything to earn that. That's not something that he earned. It's a situational thing. The same way, because Hashem chose our avos, they did what they had to do to be chosen. But once they were chosen, now every Jew, when they're born, it's B'nei B'chayri Yisrael. Now you have it in your DNA. Now you have it in your genes. And therefore, yes.
How do you understand the lesson of Sha'al Rishon, which doesn't fit in so smoothly?
I don't. I'm not sure I understand that passage exactly, but I think his message is that the same way a Bechar, which is Kadosh Me'elav, the same way, and the same way all Zera Ha'avais are that way, that when they're born, automatically they have that Kedusha, and the Rebbeinu Shalom protects them and guides them. But that's, again, something, once the Rebbeinu Shalom chose the Avais, now when we're born, it's B'nei B'chayri Yisrael, it's automatic. It's an innate part of every Jew. Again, it's part of our DNA that we have that kedusha and that greatness, and that the Rebbeinu Shalom will protect us. God.